Hello and welcome to Platforms for Future. This podcast is about building and scaling B2B platform ventures to help you to accelerate and de-risk your journey with practical tips and insights. In our conversations, we talk to founders, executives, and experts, uncovering what they experienced and learned building their ventures. But we also cover new trends like ecosystem strategies, IoT and data platforms, Web3 and sustainability. This podcast is complementary to our Platform Innovation Kit toolset and the Platform Academy, where you can find more tools and learning opportunities for you and your team. For more information, please visit platforminnovationkit.com. And now, enjoy today's conversation.
Hello, and welcome to a new episode of our podcast, Platforms for Future. Today, we talk about the important topic of embedded finance and embedded payments. This is a very important topic for platforms, not only that you have to install something like payments as you want to provide a service that people get paid, but also that you are paid as a platform in the right way. And today, I'm very pleased to have two guests in my podcast. First, Christoph, he is the co-founder of the platform DokuMe, and Sirosh, he is the co-founder and CEO of Get Paid, a payment provider. So we have two experts and entrepreneurs who have gone through a great journey about embedded finance, embedded payments, and they can help us to get a better understanding how you can use embedded finance to scale your platforms, but also to talk a bit about what is the future about embedded finance. So what can we expect in the next 3 to 5 years? So welcome to our podcast, Christoph and Sirosh.
Hi, Matthias.
Hi, Matthias.
So before we go into the topic, we need a bit more description. What is DokuMe? So Christoph, can you explain a bit more about what your platform is about and also a bit about your journey and what you have learned in the last years?
So first of all, thank you for the invitation to this podcast and having here to tell you a bit of about DokuMe. We need to go back a few years because me and my co-founder, Nikki, we know each other since school and we started this project like 10 years ago. And at first, we just wanted to help some friends to find easy solutions to their problems. So Nikki was part of the judo national team in Germany, and we wanted to improve his daily life and also the daily life of the athletes on their way to the Olympic Games. And to be honest, we more or less stumbled upon the idea to create this platform. So it was not really planned from the beginning, but we just wanted to find always an easy and reusable way to solve the functionalities and problems the German Judo Federation needs. So one thing led to another, and we started with simple modules for training documentation, but we now offer a big variety of modules like license management, membership management, and also project management. Nowadays, we have this platform as a service solution. We provide for everyone who needs a customizable platform for themselves.
Very good. So you deal with a lot of associations in the sports industry and you help them. Sirosh, what about you?
Yeah, sure. I mean, as you mentioned, GetPaid is an embedded payments provider. My journey was a bit, I started as a consultant at Bain and companies, so was classic strategy management consulting. Then went on to get into fintech after almost 10 years to Aux Money. There was a step closer to embedded finance, I would say. It was alternative finance to consumers and small businesses as part of the management team as a VP for partnership and strategy, and then moved on to, again, a step closer to, and that was, I would say, right at the heart of embedded finance, to Tink, which was open banking. That's also a functionality that's considered a lot of times embedded finance and access to finance. And then after more than 10 years, we were acquired by Visa. And then in my role as a VP of payments and platforms from the commercial side, I got really close to a lot of these, I would say, challenges of embedded finance and embedded payments of that clientele, of platforms, of wholesalers, of marketplaces. Understood the space more, saw that opportunity and wanted to build, and that is what GetPaid is, wanted to build a tailor-made end-to-end solution payments solution for platforms and marketplaces. Because that the big challenge that we're going to talk about that a bit longer that we've seen is that platforms are radically different when it comes to embedded payments or when it comes to payments and finance because of the complexity of how they deal and the complexity of having multi-sided situations. So you are providing a service to business customers, and these business customers have customers themselves, right? So as Christoph described, you have he's providing services to a federation, and this federation may have relationships to other federations and may have relationships to end customers. And if you then want to enable the service of payments, that's complex. And that's what we wanted to make really easy and really accessible and in a way that platforms could really leverage payments and not make it a headache and not make it something that you just offer, but something that you really extract value from and that you really deliver value to their customers. And that's what we did with GetPaid. A lot of challenges on the way that we can chat a bit later, but in a nutshell, it's an ultimate payment solution for platforms, marketplaces, wholesalers.
So making payments easy.
Yeah.
Christoph, can you also a bit explain what was the key challenge for you? So when you started, and of course, you are also a customer of GetPaid, so you can deeply describe a bit how you work together with Zerosh and team. What was the key challenge for you as a platform and why you considered also kind of GetPaid and the payment provider to implement those functionalities?
So embedded finance was fast requirement from our customers to integrate it into the platform. So we started first to look into it to collect our subscriptions. So this was an easy way to start it because we have only us as the platform who collects the money. But it's got soon really complex because we have those different federations interacting on our platform. And we got to certain limits with our first try to integrate it into the platform. We had some issues on the regulatory side because we thought of the multi-party payments that we did not want to get the money on our account and then route it ourselves to every party involved in the payment. So we needed to find a way to solve this inside the regulations and the European Union. And we did this with the GetPaid because they offer a good way to make it easy for a platform to integrate it.
Maybe if I add to what Christoph just said, that is a common pattern. Let's put it this way, where you have a complex nature as a platform, and platforms are by definition complex, and you want to do a payments and you actually want to scale, be it payments or financial services, etc. So whenever you have multi-sided situations, multiple parties, you want to kind of like iterate, it gets messy. And maybe we can, in the middle of it, get a bit into the detail of this. But that is something that is maybe just as an addendum, that is really common and what we've heard many, many times with our customers.
Yeah, so what I learned is also that there are maybe three core challenges here. So first, your customers are requesting that because of a kind of a trust thing. So they want to ensure that their payments are really paid and made in a secure way, etc. So it's about trust, building trust, and your customers require those trust. Second thing was about this, let's say, legal requirements, because if you, and this is maybe sometimes unknown to founders, so if you collect the money, then you are acting like a bank, and usually you should have a kind of a bank, or sometimes it's required to have a bank license. But if you, to get the bank license, it's almost impossible for a startup. So therefore, a payment provider or an embedded finance provider can help here because they have this kind of bank license and they can collect the money, manage the money, and then also pay out the money to the consumers or producers of your platform. And then the third part is the complexity. As you said, okay, it's not an easy way, but if you have sub-levels of contracts or whatever, then it can get really complex to handle everything. So before we go into how to scale a platform with embedded finance, maybe let's have a look a bit on the history. So embedded finance is nothing new. So a lot of people talked about that. I think it's in place for the last 10 years or something like that. But it's a huge topic. So maybe Zerosh, you are maybe the experts here on embedded finance. Could you kind of give a brief wrap up of what happened in the last 5 to 10 years with embedded finance? Are there some kind of trends we could see, and how this developed from a platform perspective?
Sure. So, there's many, I would say, definitions of what embedded finance, open finance, etc. is. The key thing, what I always love to think about embedded finance, is if you look traditionally 10, 20 years back, what is not embedded finance is that you would get a financial service directly from the provider of that financial service. So you want a bank account as a business, you go to a business bank. You want payment services, you directly go to the PSP. You want an insurance, you directly go and purchase it from an insurer. You want collections and so on and so forth. So there's multiple ways of financial services. I think what has become more and more prevalent is that businesses and also consumers purchase or interact more and more with strong platforms, strong brands, right? So for example, let's take Christopher, how I would see it, Judo Federation's using DocuMe, and that is a primary business relationship. They have a lot of interactions, a lot of services provided from them. It's just a natural step, and that's when embedded finance comes, that you would also procure financial service from that technology platform. So there's a shift from buying directly from that financial services provider to buying from your technology provider that is anyway really entangled into your businesses. And that is essentially what embedded finance is, because these platforms that have these great relationships to their business customers need to have providers or the ability to integrate into their product, the ability to create bank accounts, the ability to create, for example, wealth accounts and wealth services, the ability to offer payments, the ability to offer insurances, etc. And the traditional providers, traditional banks, traditional insurers just didn't do it. And that is why in the past 10 years, so many embedded finance providers came. Loans is a really big thing. Back then, you would always, as an SME, go to the bank to get a loan. But there's now tons of embedded loan providers where you can, let's say you are in a marketplace and you want a working capital loan, and you can directly procure it via the marketplace. The key thing is, and that is also something that that Christoph mentioned, that you as a platform, you can go through all of that hustle and become a financial services company fully regulated yourself. But that's a burden, that's a hassle, that's inefficient, I would say, from a market perspective. And that is why there is providers, you pay as a provider when you think about payments, there's providers when you think about banking, that offer this to really enable platforms. And that's for me embedded finance.
Yes, and our customers as the federations are used to being to use those big platforms like Amazon and Google, offer like Google Pay, Apple Pay, and they got more in touch with this technology as a consumer themselves. So they also expect it from their technology providers, their technological partners, to integrate such and service into their platform. So the expectation of the consumer also got to a next level regarding financial services.
Yeah, this is, I think, a big topic. So the maturity of the customers, it's also evolving evolved over the last years, and they are now expecting that they can use typical payment solutions like PayPal or whatever, as you said, Google Pay, Apple Pay, etc. Maybe you could also explain a bit more how exactly embedded finance works. So when you work together with a payment platform, how does it really work? Because people expecting to pay with PayPal, but now you have Get Paid, now you have the platform. How does this triangle of solutions work together? Maybe Christoph or you could explain how it works for you on your platform.
On our platform, we really want to have a deep integration into the business process at all. We have, for example, our license management, where the National Federation offers a license to their members. So the member is the person who does the sport at the end. But in between those are multiple layers of clubs and state federations who all want their share of the money. So at first, we need to design the flow on the platform, how the user has the experience to do the payment, from the payment initiation over the checkout, the routing to every party involved in the payment, and also the payout, and very important as a platform, the billing of the fees you collect. So we need to, of course, we need to pay a fee for the service, but we also need to invoice the fees to our customers. And this is often overlooked, that we don't want to invoice every fee on its own, because then you have so many invoices. So it's key for us to have a financial system, a financial layer on our platform, which does all those services. And what we learned in our journey to integrate the payments, so we built the software first and then thought about this, and that maybe was not the best approach, but it led to a really reliable system where we could just switch the payment provider or the solution provider for every case. And we can decide which is the best fit for our use case. And this is really key if you want to scale and use this as an opportunity for your platform.
Yep. And to add to what Christoph said, that is one thing also for the audience to keep in mind. What is so different from, I tell it now from a payment perspective, but you can see that in a larger picture to embedded finance. What is so different from most of the use cases of a platform model to a singular merchant model? So when you accept payments as a single merchant, imagine you are H&M or you are CNA or whatever, and you want to offer payments to your customers on the web shop. You are the person that is delivering the services to the customer. So you are also the person or the entity that is accepting the payments. So what does it mean from a regulatory perspective? You as H&M, as one entity, need to be onboarded, and then you can offer, for example, credit card payments, etc. Most of the time in a platform, in a marketplace model, etc., the marketplace is offering the ability to accept payments. So the actual entities accepting the payments or in the payment flow will be business customers. So will be the Judo Federations, or will be in a marketplace for the sellers. And that makes it a bit more complicated, because all of a sudden the platform could almost as well be a PSP itself to kind of like offer it. But obviously they don't want to be that. They don't want to have that regulatory burden. So putting a platform into that position to offer payment acceptance is the key, and doing that in an easy way. And in Christoph's case, you have on top multiple parties, so you need to route splits of payments through multiple people, and then you want to also have a surcharge. That is really what, there's one, we talked about scaling a lot, one complexity driver from many aspects that a lot of platforms and marketplaces actually see. And that is like a fundamental difference. And also, I think a fundamental difference that we saw on how you would build an infrastructure of payments. Is it end merchant focused, or is it platform distributed focused?
So it's at the end, maybe at the beginning, let's say providing simple payment solutions, but now also platforms, marketplaces evolved and have more complexity, multi-layers of value proposition, as you have to deal with multiple consumers or stakeholders, and you have to design different flows of money, etc. So also the maturity of platforms and marketplaces evolved over the last 10 years. And now you can find them also in very complex situations and environments, like what you describe with the different federations, associations, and the members, etc. So it's not an easy product or service marketplace. It's a bit more complex. And here also embedded finance helps you to manage everything and get the complexity out and get everything straightforward. At the end, also to have this building up this trust that all the payments are getting paid in the right way. Maybe also looking at, so this was about the history, so looking more on today. So Siraj, you also mentioned that there are a lot of payment providers out there at the moment. So how do you see the market at the moment? So for us as a founder, maybe it's not easy to find the right payment provider or the right embedded finance provider. So from your point of view, of course, get paid is one of the best. But if you would be a founder of a marketplace, how would you solve this challenge of finding the right payment provider?
That's a good question. That's a great thing in my position. I talk to a lot of marketplace platform founders each week. Of people that have taken a decision in the platform space, you see one consideration that they always have. Obviously, for a platform, it is even more important than for a singular, I would say, provider of goods. Like you produce something and you sell it, to reach scale really fast. That is platform marketplace 101, right? It's scale, it's aggression of cost, and it is more important. So a lot of marketplaces and platforms, they think about, okay, I have my first service, my primary service. For example, I have a software service. How can I scale that software service? And how can I add services on top to extract more customer value? And then obviously, if payments is one of these services, how do I actually scale with it? The big issue, if you look at the landscape, it's really fragmented, because platforms, the market of platforms grew so fast and the products developed so fast that very quickly they wanted to have embedded payments and embedded finance and lending, etc. But like the providers that wanted to do that, like traditional providers, Stripe, Adyen, etc., came more from the e-commerce world, the end merchant world. So what you see a lot when people have taken a decision is, I would say, a strong fragmentation and a convolute of services. And that is something that every founder should be thinking about, because there was no really one-stop shop. And that was something that we wanted to solve. So shop solution, you find, hey, I have a payment provider here, and I have a payout provider, and maybe then an ops provider, and maybe an escrow account, and something that makes it more efficient. You see a convolute, and you see large payment teams. That is something that is really typical for platforms and for marketplaces. So when thinking about deciding, what do I want to achieve? Do I want to get off the ground quickly? Do I want to have a simplified setup? Do I want to extract value to scale? This is something that that you should always ask yourself when picking a provider. And also, what is my geographical reach? Do I want to get really deep quickly in the EU and then scale abroad? Is also a very, very relevant question that you should do. So ask yourself, not what do I want to do now, but where do I want to be in 1 year, in 2 years, in 3 years? A lot of people, because they didn't ask that question, ended up with something extremely complex, hence the scaling issue. And that was something that we really wanted to solve, plus give the ability of actually making money on top with payments, without going into more detail of like which provider is doing that. But like, this is like observations of founders that have taken a decision and where we have now discussions with. And that's specific. And that's so funny. You see probably the biggest payments teams you would always see in platforms. You would, given the size, see less in end merchants because of that complexity.
Yes. And like Cyrus told us, it's really the case that you need to try to make it one step bigger as you really try to do, because then it's the right size if you scale. So we had our fair share to try out different providers. And what we saw in the market was that from a developer perspective, you really saw on the APIs and how the system behaved that if you try to integrate payments into your platform, it was just really we had this e-commerce solution, one-to-one payments, and then we try to step it up and have multi-party payments. And this does not really work, because on those edge cases, and the edge cases grow if you scale, you reach a limit with those providers. So it's really important to check what you need and think one step bigger, and then you have a good solution for your platform.
Yeah, very good point. So there's multiple things you need to consider. So looking into the future, it finally helps you to get away all the hassle with the payments, but can it also help you to further scale? So is it also enabling you to provide additional value propositions to your customers? So it's not just about automating and smooth payment processes, etc. This is kind of removing the bottlenecks from the processes, but also enables it you to create better products, better services as a platform. Maybe Christoph, can you a bit more elaborate on that? What are your plans with Dokumi, or how embedded finance helped you now to make the next step?
This is a really interesting point for us as a platform, because this enables us to build the products our customers need. It's gotten more and more important in the last years, and also in the future, we see that we need to offer products which integrate the financial parts into the process itself. first there was this need to just integrate it, but now we see that we want to, for example, build something ourselves, which is DokumiPay, and that our customers see, okay, that we can trust this platform, we can put our business processes into the platform. Without the financial parts, it's not possible, especially for federations and clubs. This is important because less people want to do this work with finance, and we can really automate many, many things for them. So without this embedded finance, we cannot really do that.
Maybe one addition, an anecdote from another customer on scaling. Sometimes this is a customer, a marketplace slash wholesaler in the auto part industry, very large in the couple of hundred millions when you look at transactions. And it's typical. When you look at a platform business model, you see archetypes, right? You see the SaaS platform, Documi is a great example for that, right? Then you see marketplaces, so there's transactions are made and you meet buyers and sellers. And then you see like a sub model, like a pseudo marketplace or wholesaler, where it's basically the same. You got buyers and sellers, but like it's really traded through the wholesaler, right? He's doing the work. What's kind of interesting is that you see convergence and business model extensions in these three, you would think, distinct archetypes. Another, or like many of our customers, or one of the customers says like, hey, I started off as a wholesaler. Then I wanted to scale, and it's easier not to trade anymore on your own balance sheet, but it's easier to trade in a marketplace model. So it's really the merchants trade on their own, and I just give the infrastructure of a marketplace. But I also have such a great relationship to auto garages, to fleet management companies, and they're anyway using software from myself. So now I want to, as a long-term solution, also embed payments into that software service so they can do payment acceptance, for example, on their own web page. So I'm almost, now I'm a software provider. Very typical case. I said, like, hey, the one thing that's stopping me is that is so complex from a payments perspective, three different business models, multiple parties involved. How do I do that in a compliant way? And how do I not have, as yet today, 25 people in finance and payments to operate what I do? Because I'm now in a situation where I can't add more. One of the business models was with fleet management, where I can't add more fleet management companies because I can't hire another 2-3 people. That is also kind of like when one situation where a platform that's already really big wants to do business model extension and sees there is business. There's more companies wanting to get on my platform, but it's a nightmare to handle these three kind of business models. And I need like a unified solution for that. That is also a scaling problem on a different level in a different area.
Yeah, I think this is a very good description. The trend we see, especially also in B2B environments, that a platform evolves. Maybe it starts as a product or service marketplace, but then it adds also a layer of as a service components. And you, Christoph, you also mentioned that Documi is also a PaaS, so a platform as a service. Maybe your core model is platform as a service, so they pay like a subscription fee or whatever to use it. So you have multiple business models, a subscription fee, and maybe also a transaction fee, and you need to combine them.
Dear listeners, I hope you enjoy our podcast and you can learn more about building and scaling a successful platform business. I'm Matthias, CEO of Fastbreak One. And as you know, we at Fastbreak One are platform entrepreneurs by heart. Since over 20 years, we are building new platforms, and this makes us one of the most experienced platform venture builders around the globe. If you are a corporate and you tried out different strategies, consultants, IT partners, but your platform initiative struggles to scale, please check out our assessment services. For example, we work closely together with a leading insurance company who tried to establish a platform for 2 years, but the results were below expectations and the risk to fail was very high. Within 1 month, we helped them to understand the bottlenecks and created a step-by-step plan to scale. Today, we are working very closely with the company and the platform became a market leader. Yes, we are no consultants. We are entrepreneurs and we love to share the risk and go full in building new platform ventures. Learn more about our experience and our practices of work at our website www.fastbreak.one or send us an email to contact@fastbreak.one. And now let's go back to the conversation.
Looking into the future, So we handled the past, we handled the present. So what about the future? How do you see the future of embedded finance? So maybe we hear a lot about generative AI at the moment and the next boom phase of AI. Is this an impact to embedded finance? Are there other impacts, other forces for embedded finance? So maybe, Christoph, could you maybe elaborate a bit more how you see this could evolve also from a customer perspective? You are working together with such a provider. So what do you expect from them in the future as you see your own platform evolve? And maybe then also Zerosh after that. So a bit more like from a market perspective. So how do you see how all this embedded finance solutions evolve in the next years? Let's start with Christoph.
Yes, thank you. We think AI is really important factor for platforms. And on the long term, we all need to think about how to integrate it in our platforms. But I don't think that even as a developer right now, it's hard to imagine how we can integrate this into finance. So maybe this is interesting for something like to offer dynamic fees, to offer dynamic pricing, and also for the reports we generate. So AI might be a really good factor in creating reports and the risk management for your platform. But for the payment process itself, I don't see much benefits for it.
Maybe my two cents is for us, I could say maybe from our product perspective and then how platforms use it, how AI in the future is already helping us, is going to help us, is obviously, as with many platforms also, obviously we are regulated and there's regulation and you need to do payments, but scale matters in terms of having done all the edge cases, et cetera. Big part of our product is actually software that helps. There's one big inhibitor of scaling. Helps platforms, marketplaces with an end-to-end operations handling of all of these payments, integration into ERP, reconciliation, tracking, etc. And there, obviously, it's great to have AI as a tool because, let's say, you can't reconcile a payment or a payment has been failed, has been rebooked, has been split wrong, etc. Having an AI that is kind of analyzing, proposing the very likely next step to the platform customer, that saves significant time for the platform. You don't need to have a single person always checking everything. And obviously that is something that enables us as a payment provider to kind of like create, I would say, artificial scale. Others that have done 100 billion of transactions, other payment providers might have all edge cases kind of like already written out. But for us, it's a great thing to get to that hypothetical scale and to then pass it on to our customers to use. So that is really powerful. How then platforms can use it, I would see exactly as Christoph said, is use that in pricing, understanding the pricing. There's also something that we work on. Again, we have 50% payment and 50% software. How can you, in a smart way, use AI to find the best model, how to price and how to make money with payments and eventually with finance? And that is really key. We have a lot of flexibility already of kind of like what you can manage you, but like having that dynamically changing, dynamically offering and pricing models, that is something extremely powerful. So I fully, fully agree with Christoph on this one.
So you both would say that AI is one of the biggest areas of improvement for embedded finance in the next years? Or do you see also other areas? So it could be also about payments of things. So we see also a lot of more and more things are connected to the Internet of Things world. So my fridge is now purchasing the next milk package and it pays the supermarket, something like that. Or is it something like nice, but nothing really big? So is there anything else besides AI, or would you say no, AI is the big topic and all the other things are side topics?
I would say the big game changer is actually platforms like Christoph, because what they do is bringing, I would say, a level of digitization to formerly relatively undigitized customer groups. So the B2B space is, if you look at payments at everything, is really behind when it comes to digital adoption in terms of like what the end user does, what a payment user does, what a finance user does versus what we do at home as an end customer. That is for me the big game changer and kind of like having more and more of these SaaS platforms that digitize services within business customers, that is going to drive a lot of revolution, I would say, in the next 10 years. Obviously, yes, something like AI, something like Internet of Things is going to be a technology that is maybe changing the behavior. But like on a really large scale level, this is for me the big trend why I believe that platforms or that the platform age is going to be dominant in the next 10 years. I don't know, Christoph, how you see it.
Yes, I agree. And we see ourselves not only in the future as this software provider, but we also think that there might be a trend, especially for us, that we integrate it further into the daily life and also into the physical world. Just to give you an example, if we say you are a member at the sports club and you check in on a daily basis. So we offer the solution to track this and to also enable you to turn this into a new business model you try as a gym. So you need to have this physical connection, like you say, with the bottle of milk in the fridge, it's empty and you buy directly a new one. You need to think about those business models we right now can't even imagine. And we as a platform, together with the payment and embedded finance providers, we will try to make this connection of internet and the real world much bigger than we right now can imagine.
And if you see from a numbers perspective, to show you the level of, I would say, almost digitization or automation, is like for us as end consumers, I think during Corona, the level of digital payments has surpassed the level of physical payments of cash. If you look at the business world and specifically some verticals, it's 80% plus still invoice, print out, send, someone is paying, someone is manually reconciling. And this differs by industry, but you see that gross difference that you see here, although business payments is probably 4 or 5 times bigger. So there is, I would say, the big revolution that is coming. And I would say technologies like you mentioned, Internet of Things, etc., is gonna change it a lot. And again, I would say the end consumer is leading a bit the wave of change. But at some point, you as a business user, you're so, as an end consumer, as an operator, you're so used to what you want to see. So you're also demanding that within your business operations. I think that is a key big trend that I'm seeing.
Yeah, people from an end customer perspective or end consumer perspective, they more and more expect the same convenience and processes also in a B2B environment. And here in B2B, we have still a lot of things to do to digitalize all the business models, but also processes, etc. So what I learned today from an embedded finance perspective, it helps you as a platform to build up trust. So the secure payments, it also removes those legal barriers like you need maybe a banking license to handle all of those payments. And it removes especially those big complexity issues, especially when you have multiple layers of consumers or sellers and buyers, etc. How to start? You mentioned, Zirosh, it should be about finding something easy to start with. So don't make it too complex. Don't make it too complicated. And but also at the same time, think about the next step. So building something which helps you to enable a business model of tomorrow and not just today. And from a scaling perspective, I learned that especially embedded finance can help you to implement multiple layers of value proposition. So or multiple or different layers of business models like transaction fees, but also as a service components. And looking into the future, you mentioned there are two big trends. First, AI, it will enable a bit further to scale embedded finance, and on the other side also in a B2B environment to help further digitalize everything and make things smoother. A lot of learnings from the conversation today, so thank you for sharing all of that. Coming to the end of our podcast, and we always ask our guests about their key learnings from the lab past. So if you could give one big advice to other founders of platforms and marketplaces, what would it be?
We see the embedded finance part not only as a tech project to enable payments, but we involve our whole team into this topic, and that we enable new business models we can offer not only for us, but we can offer it to our clients. And for this, I think the key finding is that you should really think about your financial model for your platform and that you have to think about the tax and regulatory stuff. And if you did your homework on this, this is a really good opportunity for your platform to scale.
Okay. And Zirosh?
Maybe as a founder, kind of like building something, you tend to always want to do too much at the same time. That's a common thing. So there's so many opportunities. Obviously, there's a lot of opportunities in payments. There's a lot of opportunity when you're focusing with the platform on restaurants or et cetera. It's really kind of like finding the first few customers, still having a lot of discussions. So you really quickly reiterate on what problems, 1, 2, 3, 4 problems you want to solve. And I've seen super successful approaches to that. And I've seen also the other way. I've done a lot of mistakes myself, but it's like always getting very quick feedback, reiterate on what are the relevant 2, 3 problems that you want to solve them, then try to find to scale it. That is something that is probably that one big advice. Have I always done it right? No, obviously not. Also fell sometimes in the trap of wanting to do too much, but that is really important. And the second thing is obviously for platform. I have built a marketplace myself or as myself, but I've talked to a lot. It's really that a lot of platforms get into trouble if they don't correctly scale at some point. That is really something like trying to always have in mind these unit economic costs that you want to get into. That is at least something that I see more and more platform founders and CEOs being really kind of like conscious about.
Yeah, very good points, especially with your marketplace. And very often when you calculate your business case, then you understand it's a small margin. So it's about scaling, and then those small margins are getting not bigger, but it helps you to earn more and more money. And therefore you need to remove as much as complexity as possible and issues in your processes. So very, very good learnings. Thank you very, very much for joining today. This conversation was a pleasure to learn more about Dokumi and Get Paid. So I totally recommend to our guests to have a view on both platforms. And if there are special questions related to embedded finance, please reach out to Zirosh or reach out to Christoph on LinkedIn, and they will definitely support you and help you in sharing their learnings. Yes, so thank you very much for joining. And maybe in 1, 2 years, we can have another conversation. And then let's have a review what you have learned. What is the status quo, etc. How AI turned out as a game changer or not. So let's see. Thank you very much for joining.
Yeah, thanks, Matthias. Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us. And I'm very excited to see what's coming in the next years.